Let me ask you, is bigger always better? We certainly hear that slogan touted a lot, especially by us Americans. We believe bigger is better. For instance, men love big trucks with Hemi engines because bigger and faster is clearly better. Women love 8-inch heeled shoes because being taller is obviously better. And we enjoy watching TV shows that boast, go big or go home. Have you seen the rectory, which is the house where the priests live lately? Talk about big. Recently, I was giving a group of people a tour of the rectory and showed them the spacious bathroom and the enormous shower that the pastor of this parish enjoys. And one person commented, don't you think it's a little strange that you don't have a door on your shower? And I replied, you know, the day I need a door on my shower is the day I ask to be transferred out of IC Parish. So even American priests think bigger is better. Scott Hahn tells the story of Cardinal John Wright, who worked at the Vatican for 10 years. Hahn writes this, Cardinal Wright was a theologian of great subtlety and wit, an outsized and corpulent man. In other words, he was a big guy. He knew how to use his size to make a rhetorical point. Once, while talking to a group of seminarians, he observed, why do so many people insist on calling the Mass a banquet? And then he paused and rested his hands on his belly and said, it hardly seems a snack to me. I wonder if Cardinal Wright ever drove through Amarillo, Texas, and took a turn at the 72-ounce T-bone steak. Everything is bigger in Texas, they say, because clearly, bigger is better, right? In the gospel today, however, God displays a decisive predilection for the diminutive, for what is small and seemingly insignificant. That is, God believes smaller is better. Here are three examples just from today's gospel. First, God leads three magi from the east by the light of a small star, a star that almost everyone else missed, especially King Herod, who should have been watching for the star. Second, the scribes tell Herod that the Messiah will be born in a small backwater town called Bethlehem. Listen to the prophecy. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. Apparently, everyone thought they were the least, so the prophet has to reassure them. Since from you shall come a ruler to shepherd my people Israel. By the way, do you know what the word Bethlehem literally means? It means house of bread, Bethlehem, which is perfect because that's where Jesus, the bread of life, would be born, where he who is hardly a snack would become the main course of the heavenly banquet. And here's the third example from today's gospel. Jesus comes as a tiny baby, humble, vulnerable, insignificant and ignored, which is how he would die. You see, to us Americans, all of this would seem absurd. We ask, why not roll out the red carpet? Where's the glimmer, the glamour, and the glitz? But that's exactly how God prefers to act. And a careful reading of the Bible will show this is how he operates throughout the entire scriptures. For God, less is more. The smaller is better, and the weakest will rule the world. Unlike us Americans, God doesn't charge in with shock and awe, but uses instruments that seem banal and boring, which most people miss. Welcome to the Catholic Mass. Banal and boring, and which most people miss. Remember how full the church was at Christmas? Why do so many people insist on calling the Mass a banquet? It hardly seems a snack to me. Do you know what is the single greatest gripe that people have against God? It is that He does not answer our prayers. I bet you have complained about that too. So have I. We ask for a sign that we might know what to do. We ask for a healing from some kind of illness. We ask to pass a test or to get a job. I ask the people would give more money in the collection. And what do we hear from heaven? Holy crickets chirping. In other words, nothing. But is it because God is ignoring us? Or is too busy to bother? Or worse, because He is punishing us? Not at all. He's always answering our prayers. I believe He answers them before we even utter them. But we miss His answers. Why? Because we're looking for shock and awe. And He sends us a tiny baby in Bethlehem. We want a 9-course meal with a 72-ounce T-bone steak. But God gives us something that's hardly a snack. You see, our problem is we believe that bigger is always better. But that's not what God believes. And that's not how God behaves. We have to recalibrate our Catholic sensibilities and see God working in small and subtle ways. That's the lesson of the Feast of the Epiphany. It's what it tries to teach us every year by directing our attention to a small star. That's how God works. It's a lesson that we Americans find especially hard to learn. Several years before I arrived at Immaculate Conception, there was a parishioner here by the name of Jack Shields. He has since passed away. Like several other faithful parishioners, Jack and his wife, Jean, attended daily Mass at 7 a.m., daily and devoutly, never missing, rain or shine, sleet or snow. He was so zealous about attending Mass every day that one day, Monsignor Galvin, who was the former pastor, asked him, "Jack, why do you go to Mass every day?" And Jack answered Monsignor Galvin, "Monsignor, I'm afraid to miss Mass. I can't live without the Eucharist, without receiving Jesus in Holy Communion every day. Communion is everything to me." For some people, the bread of communion is more important than life itself because it is the banquet of eternal life. For other people, the bread of communion is hardly a snack. What is it for you? Praised be Jesus Christ.